Well, good morning. For those of you who I may not have had the opportunity to meet yet, my name is TJ Daugherty, and I'm the senior pastor here at Central Baptist Church. And today, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but today is a memorial day. Today is a significant day because 1 year ago this morning, we began the journey that we are currently still on of responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. And 1 year ago this morning, you weren't here. You were at home. Okay, the pews were empty. And I know you weren't here because I was here. Okay, and we had the entire band, you probably don't remember this. Okay, I had to go back and look, but the entire band was tucked away over here on this side of the stage. We put them all in one little spot so that we could have the screen above them, so we could have the lyrics to the songs. And we had all the sound. There was nothing coming through the speakers in the room. We put all the sound through this little speaker and we put it on the table in front of us. And we had somebody standing down there behind a cell phone on a stand. And they had the cell phone aimed over here. And then whenever we got done singing, they turned the stand so that it would face the pulpit. And I stood up and I preached a sermon. And that's what happened 1 year ago this morning. And when you think about how far we've come in a short amount of time, and by the way, what we did was all at the last minute. We threw that together the night before, because we had never live streamed a service here at Central before. When you think about how far we've come, it's pretty remarkable. We have multiple high quality cameras mounted right here in the sanctuary. We've got a broadcast room that allows us to control those cameras remotely. We've got sound quality that allows us to have sound in this room while also mixing sound that goes out on the live stream. And now we even have the ability to overlay the lyrics, the sermon points, the scripture references on the bottom of the screen. Look, I'm thankful for technology. I'm so thankful for that ministry, and I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to continue to serve in this way, and this is important, that we can do so with excellence. But, let's praise God. That's a great thing. But I need you to know something. That 1 year into this pandemic, I stand before you this morning as your pastor with serious concerns. Now, I say these things. I want you to hear me say this. I say these things to you this morning out of compulsion, not desire. It would be a lot easier on me if I didn't say them, okay? But as the pastor of Central Baptist Church, I feel compelled to say these things to you this morning because as your pastor, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that for the past year, we have folks that are comfortable going out into the public, going to work, going to restaurants, going to the grocery store, going anywhere else, but not coming here. I'm concerned that we have those who are choosing to forsake the gathering of the saints, whether that's out of fear, whether it's out of convenience, or in some cases, whether it's out of apathy. I'm concerned that we have a generation of children under whom we've been entrusted that are being told by the example of their parents that the local church doesn't matter, that all you have to do is turn on a computer screen 1 hour a week and you're good. Listen, I want you to know when we put together the live stream, we did it in order to solve a problem in the immediate. Okay, but the live stream is not meant to be one option on this menu of choices, and you just choose which one's best for you. Now, the live stream serves two purposes. First, it serves to bring the service to those who are not able to come. Okay, so for those who are homebound, those who are stuck at home because they're sick or have a child who's sick, or maybe they're traveling, that's the purpose for the live stream. And then secondly, we view it as an outreach. It's a way in which the gospel is now presented via technology into homes of those who otherwise may not hear the good news. But for those of us within the church family who are able to gather together, the scripture is clear. We are to gather together. You need to be here. We've said from the beginning that watching a worship service online is not the same as participating in it. You need to be here. You need to sing with the saints. You need to serve. You need to bring your spiritual gifts. You need to encourage one another. And you need to be encouraged by others. So this morning, I'm just going to ask those who are listening online, on the radio, maybe those who have not been back for an entire year, my question this morning, how long? How long will you wait until you gather together with the saints? And listen, please hear me. I'm saying this out of love, but you need to hear it. If you are choosing to stay home and to forsake the gathering of the saints, you are living in disobedience to the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10 explicitly says, do not neglect to meet together. And some in our church family are doing just that. I don't know where everybody's at on this thing. I know we've got a spectrum of opinions, but if you're somebody who's been crippled by fear from this virus, let me just say, do you not know that we, as believers, of all people, have nothing to fear? This is not something that should characterize the life of a Christian. We should not be inhibited by this fear that keeps us from doing what we've been called to do. Listen, for us to live is Christ, and you know what? To die is gain. Look, if we're so crippled by fear that we're unwilling to live in obedience to the scriptures, then I must say that we outwardly deny the faith that we claim to hold. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. How long are we going to be afraid of this thing? Now, I don't know if you know this, but across the globe this morning, Christians are gathering, some of them under the threat of death. Not because they might catch a virus and get sick and die. No, I'm talking about if they get caught, if they get found out, they will be killed. And you know what? They still gather. So here's my question for us. What if this comes here? And it might. Are we just going to stay home? Are we just going to live? Are you just going to be so afraid that you say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Will you abandon Christ? Please hear me. Please hear me. I am not saying that this virus is not serious. I know it's serious. We've had many in our church who have been seriously affected. We've had those who know of others who have lost their lives because of this thing. I'm not saying it's not serious. I'm not saying that we need to be frivolous and haphazard and loose. And I'm not saying that at all. In fact, look around. Okay, we're still observing certain precautionary measures because we respect the seriousness of this virus. What I am saying is that we have some who have prioritized physical health over and above spiritual and emotional and mental health. But this is not the first time that a pandemic has gone across the globe. In the second century, historians tell us that there was a plague that wiped out up to a fourth of the population of the Roman Empire. And when that happened, many who caught this plague, they were abandoned by their families. If you got it, you were completely cast out. They left you to die. You know who cared for the sick? Believers, Christians, they risked their lives. And so as the plague spread, the gospel spread with it. The same thing happened in the 16th century. Protestant Reformation was happening, and suddenly here comes the bubonic plague. And many of you know Martin Luther was the face of this Protestant Reformation. And so when this happened, when it reached his city in Wittenberg, many told him, you need to quarantine, you need to isolate, you need to protect yourself. Luther wouldn't do it. He stayed and he ministered to the sick. And this is what he told his church. Quote, we die at our posts. Christian doctors cannot abandon their hospitals. Christian governors cannot flee their districts. And Christian pastors cannot abandon their congregations. It says the plague does not dissolve our duties. Rather, it turns them into crosses on which we must be prepared to die. Listen, there is a lost and dying world that is in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How long are we going to wait? I'm willing to submit to you this morning, we can't wait any longer. It's time to come together, and I mean this, all of us. We are a church family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's time that the family, the whole family, gets back together. I want you to know that I labored over this for quite some time. And after much prayer and deliberation, I sensed the burden that I just needed to share these things, and I want you to know that I share them from the bottom of my heart out of love. And I ask that you might extend mercy and grace to me and receive these words in the same way. And with that being said, let's go to the Father together in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. When we reflect and look back on what it was like a year ago, there was so much uncertainty, so much unknown, so many questions that needed to be answered, and yet, Father, you've proved faithful through it all. We're so thankful that we've been able to resume meeting and resume our gatherings. And Father, I know that there are many who long to be here, who have a desire to be here, and who are prohibited. They have no ability. They can't come. Father, we're thankful that we have technology and we can administer some semblance of a worship service to them. Father, I also know that we have many who could be here and are choosing not to. And I pray, Father, that there would be a revival within the saints at Central Baptist Church, that we could not gather. We have to come together. We have to sing praises to our King, and we have to do it as a church family. I pray that that would grab us, it would captivate us, and that we might be a light, that we might be an example, and that others would know that those people that meet at 829 High Street, they're serious. Their life is characterized by a commitment to their God, and they are unwavering in that. I pray that that might be the cry of this congregation, and that you would receive all the glory for it. Pray this all in Jesus' name.